Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with somebody that you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One-on-One.
Yeah, that was pretty surreal. I mean, to have the opportunity to play in front of friends and family like that, it never really occurred to me that that would be a reality in my career until it actually happened. To hit a game-winning grand slam in the ballpark where I grew up watching baseball games was a pretty cool experience. That was special for me and for my family to, you know, kind of be there and share that with me.
And our guest this week is former Westchester baseball star, current big leaguer with the Tampa Bay Rays, Joey Wendell. And Joey, thanks so much for taking the time.
Hey, Matt, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
So as we're talking here, second week of February, what is life like for you as far as getting ready for what looks like at this point is going to be a pretty full Major League Baseball season?
Yeah, well, I just actually just got back from working out. We're at an indoor facility not far away, so I had to brush off the snow off the truck this morning and head on in. But yeah, we're kind of gearing up here. We got about a week until we leave for spring training, and then yeah, we'll get things rolling again in a hopefully slightly more normal 2021 season.
Yeah, 2020 was obviously a strange, as something we've never gone through. It ended up being a shortened season. You guys had a ton of success, obviously, get to the World Series. But what was the whole experience like? Was it kind of surreal to play in empty stadiums and deal with situations you never had to deal with before?
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly different. I think we were all kind of just learning in real time. There's obviously no precedent for, you know, what has happened in the past year with COVID. But, you know, for me, baseball was, you know, a comforting part of it. It was something that I know, something that felt normal. Playing in empty stadiums was different and unique, and playing with all the protocols and wearing the masks and everything was, you know, obviously different and strange. But I think as the season went on, we kind of got used to it and understood that, you know, if we want to play baseball, if this is something that's a priority for us, then there are certain things that we have to do off the field, sacrifices that we have to make to make the season happen. I think once, you know, guys kind of took that mentality to things, that, you know, that made it a lot easier. So yeah, I mean, playing in the World Series was an unbelievable experience, and obviously one that I'll never forget. And then having it be the shortened season, the COVID year, just kind of makes it all that much more memorable.
Was there a point you thought you guys weren't going to play?
Yeah, there was. I mean, you know, we were at home in June, and it was just like, are we going to play or are we not? It was just kind of going back and forth, and I did think at some point we were headed for just completely not at all having a season, which, you know, would have been extremely disappointed for myself and for so many others too. But, you know, thankfully that we got a season in, and, you know, it felt like a real postseason experience for me, outside of there not being any fans, but just in terms of the competitive nature of it. So yeah, I mean, there was at one point in time I thought, well, we weren't going to play. Thankful we did.
So let's talk about your career. When you're growing up, is baseball always the top choice when it comes to playing sports? Were you a kid that played whatever was in season? You know, where was your focus growing up?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I mean, I have always been a baseball first guy. I have two older brothers that both played baseball. My dad was a baseball fan. He played in high school. So it seemed like, you know, in our household, baseball was kind of the first love for everybody. But on the flip side of that, I was the kind of kid who played whatever sport was in season. I mean, when I was really young, I played basketball in the winter, and then soccer in the fall. And then once they moved those baskets up to 10 feet, I wasn't as much of a fan. So I picked up wrestling like both of my brothers did as well. And then I continued to wrestle and play soccer all throughout high school. I mean, I played baseball, soccer, and wrestling all through my senior year. And then, you know, had the opportunity to play baseball in college, which was my goal and kind of what I knew all along that I would, you know, what I would like to do.
When did that start to crystallize, that it was what you wanted to do, and also that you had the ability and the talent to make it happen?
My oldest brother, Andy, played at Villanova University. So I guess he would have graduated in high school at 2003. So when he went from high school to college and started to play baseball, I think that was, for me, when I started thinking, you know, that's something I would really like to do as well. So I guess at the time I was only 12 or 13 years old, but, you know, and it's not that I had my heart set on going to a big time Division I school, but I think that's kind of when it planted the seed in my head, like, oh, this would be something to cool to pursue and do at the next level. And at that age, I had such a passion for the game. I mean, I just love playing baseball. I was, you know, always undersized, but I feel like pretty talented. So it, you know, it was something that during my junior and senior year in high school, I sought out, and I reached out to a handful of coaches and thankfully got the opportunity to play at Westchester.
What was it about the game that just resonated with you so much?
I don't know. It's hard to pinpoint it. And I think over the years, it's probably changed. I mean, I just love being out there. I mean, I was the kid when I was younger that I preferred to take ground balls to batting practice. I just love having ground balls hit at me and throwing them across the diamond. I was just, you know, I have vivid memories of every member of my family doing that, helping me out, like in our backyard or our front yard. I mean, my brothers used to hit me ground balls, and they used to hit them so hard to me that, like, if I miss one or if they hit a line drive, it would like roll all the way up to the house, which was a pretty good shot. So it was just something I loved to do. And, you know, so practicing, it was never something I had to force myself to do. It was just like, oh, let's go play baseball. Like, yeah, of course, why not?
So when the choice for college, why Westchester? Did you want to stay relatively close to home? Were you just impressed with the program? And were there any what ifs? Did you come close to going anywhere else?
Yeah, there was one what if. I really had I recall it being a decision between St. Joe's, which was actually where my middle brother was playing at the time, and then Westchester. I had, you know, a small scholarship offer from both of those schools, and I chose Westchester. They were coming off of, I can't remember if it was they ended up going to the College World Series that year prior, or if they were just, you know, just on the verge of going. But I really like the idea of going there and having an opportunity to compete for a national championship and having the opportunity to, you know, to win 30, 40 games a year. And, you know, the difference between those two is Westchester's Division II, St. Joe's is Division I. So, you know, that Division I was kind of pulling me one way, and then the ability to potentially start as a freshman and then win baseball games was, you know, kind of pulling me the other way. So you know, I feel as though I made the right decision. I mean, I enjoyed every second of my experience at Westchester, and I wouldn't change it for the world if I could.
What was the transition like going from high school to college? Was it relatively seamless for you, or do you remember at first it took some getting used to?
Yeah, I think for anybody, it would take getting used to. You know, there's always this, it's like fear of the unknown. Like, you know, you've been in high school and you have, you know, some amount of success, but there's always this, you know, thought in the back of your mind, well, you know, this is high school pitching. So what's college like? Is everybody so good there? Like, so I think there, you know, there was a little learning curve. Obviously the speed of the game picks up, pitchers are better. Everybody's a little bit better. You know, you're kind of getting the best of the high school players, but I feel like I adjusted pretty quickly and I really, you know, I recall as a freshman really enjoying the level of play because it felt like, you know, there were a lot of people who were kind of used to playing the game at the speed I was used to playing the game at. So I remember that almost being refreshing and enjoying kind of that transition period from high school to college.
And you guys had a ton of success at Westchester, and it culminates your senior year winning the national championship. But take me into your senior year. Do you look around and think, you know, we're not just good, we've got a chance to be special? And that was Coach Prakniak's first year, correct?
Sure. Yeah. You know what? I genuinely feel like all four of my years at Westchester, we had extremely talented baseball teams. I mean, I recall my freshman year, we were going to the College World Series, and I was just thinking about what a talented lineup and roster that we had. And we kind of had that similar feel going into my senior year. You know, we knew that we had a lot of guys coming back. We knew that we had some really good pitchers, some young pitchers. And, you know, it was one of those things that towards the playoffs, we just got hot, and it didn't seem like we could lose a game if we tried. And we just carried that. And we had some clutch performances from, you know, guys all throughout our lineup. I mean, I remember Joe Gunkel was the superstar in the College World Series, and however many scoreless innings it was. So we really kind of got hot towards the second half of the year, and we're just able to continue that all the way through the College World Series.
Was there a transition with the new coach, Coach Jed Prakniak? Obviously, it wasn't a big deal because you guys, you know, won the national championship. But to have a coaching change your senior year, was it relatively seamless?
Yeah, I recall everybody, you know, having a tremendous amount of respect for Jed, and continue to this day. Now that he's moved on to Delaware, which we're all happy for him in that move. But I mean, I don't recall him coming in and really trying to you know, change all that much or do too much. He was a really good players coach, and I recall him being very good in game too in terms of the decisions that he made. Yeah, and you know, we all kind of just gelled together as a team. I mean, we had all for the majority been there for 4 years together, so we all knew each other very well, and I think he kind of saw that and recognized that from the get-go. And you know, I think his coaching style really enhanced you know, our ability to win games down the stretch.
You talk about down the stretch how you almost couldn't lose if you wanted to. You win your last 12 games, so you basically mm-hmm. run the table in the postseason. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is that feeling like to get to the point where you're in the NCAA tournament, you're in the College World Series, and everything is just pointing in the same direction? I mean, it's one thing to win a national title. It's another thing to do it basically, you know, without being touched.
Yeah, well, you know, it's contagious. Things like that are contagious. You talk about hitting being contagious or pitching being contagious, and it really is. It's just, you know, that confidence that we're going to somehow find a win the game kind of plays back into itself. And that confidence then in turn allows you to play better. So, I mean, it was just one of those runs where it was like, you know, it was never in our mind that we were going to lose, or it was never in our mind that we were going to give up runs or that we weren't going to score runs. It was just kind of the mentality that we had. And yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Do you remember the moment when you kind of allowed yourself to think, we're going to win the national championship? Like, it's not a dream, it's not a goal. I mean, that this is going to happen. I'm going to be a part of this.
You know, I'm sure that moment did happen. I can't specifically remember when it was. You know, when you're playing against Delta State in the championship game, you know, so when that when you're in a situation like that, for me, I just I think we won pretty handily. I can't even remember the exact score, but it was you just don't ever really let your guard down, especially in baseball. There's no time limit. There's no like, you know, point where you can say like, yes, we're definitely going to win this game. So for me, I just remember like, you know, that moment when we won and celebrating as a team. And that was kind of just like, all right, like now it's over. We have done this.
And what's it like to win? I mean, there are very few people that get to cap their college career in any sport with a victory. Even if you've had a wonderful season, 98% of the seasons end with a loss in a championship game or a tournament. To be able to go out like that, that's extraordinary. I mean, obviously you appreciated it then, but as you get older and you kind of see how everything works, do you even have more of an appreciation of being able to do that?
Yeah, I think I do. I mean, just in the sense that that's something like that I was able to share with, you know, 30 other guys, that with all those teammates that were on that team. And, you know, we're a pretty close-knit bunch for the most part, and a lot of us still keep in touch. So I think just kind of having that common thread between all of us and just knowing just how much fun we had that year and how special that season was for all of us is what makes it fun for me.
So all along with this, you're obviously getting attention from big league scouts. How did you balance that? I mean, you know, obviously you're focused on the task at hand, but you also know that there's an opportunity beyond college that's becoming more and more real. So how did you balance those two things through that season?
Yeah, I mean, you can't help but, you know, notice when you're playing and there's scouts in the stands or something like that. And it certainly draws some of your attention. But I mean, forget exactly who it was that told me, but some of the best advice that I got when I was going through that scouting process and the, you know, the interest from pro teams, that somebody just told me at some point you have to be the player that you're going to be. You can't sit there and play for the scouts. You can't sit there and try to impress, you know, each and every scout, because you know when they're going to be there. So at some point you just have to be the player that you're going to be. So I just, you know, I think that really helped relax me and just allow me to kind of play my game and just not necessarily worry about who was in the stands. But, you know, I knew the kind of player that I was going to be. I was going to play hard, you know, whether it was a fall scrimmage that where nobody was there, or whether it was the national championship game and there were 30 scouts in the stands.
You get drafted in the sixth round by the Cleveland Indians. How did you handle the draft experience? Were you watching, paying attention, or did you go to the other end and try just wait for the phone to ring and where, however it falls, it falls?
Yeah, I was more on the other end of that. I was actually fishing with a handful of buddies of mine, and you know, I think probably a couple of days before the draft, I had an idea that I was going to be in the top 10 rounds, but I wasn't, you know, 100% sure. And I certainly didn't see the Cleveland Indians coming. I mean, just from talking to other guys and their draft stories, it seems like that's a lot of times how it works. It's not necessarily the team that has shown the most outward interest in you. It's the kind of team that, you know, swoops in at the last second to pick you up. And yeah, I mean, I remember that that phone call and getting that call and telling me that they were going to draft me in the sixth round, and they were calling to make sure that I was going to sign and this, that, and the other. So it was a fun day for me, my family, and my friends. And, you know, I ended up playing 3 years with Cleveland and just absolutely loving the organization, loving, you know, there's such good people in there. And I ended up getting traded away, but I mean, there's still people there who, you know, I attribute to a lot of my success to, and just, you know, that was kind of my first taste of professional baseball. So I'm thankful that I got drafted by them.
Was there a point, I mean, because you get drafted, it's not long after you've won the national championship. Did you hit a point? I mean, it's all great stuff, but where you were just kind of emotionally spent, like, oh my gosh, this is just, that's a lot for one guy to be processing, even though it's all good. Did it overwhelm you at any point?
You know, I don't recall being overwhelmed. I mean, I recall being like busy and having a lot of things going on, but you know, it was all stuff to me that was like encouraging and fun. And like, I don't recall it being a huge stressor in my life. I mean, to win the national championship with some of your best friends, I mean, that's, that's something that, that guys dream about, to have an opportunity like that. And then furthermore, within the same week to get drafted and go play professional baseball. I mean, this was stuff that I was excited about. And, you know, I didn't have this expectation that I was going to be a first round pick, or I didn't, you know, I didn't really have these crazy lofty expectations in terms of the draft. So to me, just getting that opportunity was an exciting experience for me. And no, I don't really recall it being particularly overwhelming.
So you go pro and you really hit the ground running after you sign. You go to Mahoning Valley. You ended up, I think, hitting about 330 that first year. Do you remember the numbers would say it was a smooth transition, but was it a big adjustment getting used to facing pro pitching and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, and just the whole lifestyle in general, it's definitely an adjustment. I mean, I remember the first time that I went to the clubhouse in Mahoning Valley, and like half of the team was speaking Spanish. And I was just thinking, man, this was like, I didn't see that aspect of it coming. And, you know, thankfully I have, you know, remember a little bit of Spanish from my high school days. So I was able to communicate with some of my teammates, but you know, the lifestyle is different. The pace of play is different. And, you know, there was a transition period. Thankfully I was able to have a good first year and kind of, I guess, put myself on the map in terms of being a prospect. But you know, it was definitely there was a lot that I had to learn that year, and then continue to learn throughout, you know, the next 3 or 4 years throughout the minor leagues. But you know, like I said, transferring from high school to college, there's still kind of just that fear of that unknown. And you know, when you find yourself in the minor league coming from college, there's just the fear of, well, man, the you know, this is pro ball now. These guys are throwing 95 miles an hour, and then you know, and then you realize that you're at the lowest level of minor league ball. So it was kind of like this, you know, this maybe questioning yourself or doubting yourself at times, thinking like, well, you know, if you're doing great in single A, well, just wait till you get to double A. And a lot of times, you know, your mind can let you create, you can think like that, which is obviously not very productive.
You mentioned 3 great years in the Indians organization, then you get traded to Oakland. Do you remember getting the call that you were being traded? And was that something that somebody had given you a heads up, hey, this could happen, or were you caught completely flat footed?
No, I was caught flat footed, as was my wife. You know, we were just recently married and trying to figure out where we were going to live. And my wife was working at the time. So it was, you know, we were like, oh, I guess this is something that can happen in this game. We were caught pretty blindsided by that. And I remember the call and just kind of that, you know, reset. Like all I had known to that point was Cleveland Indians. And then within 30 minute phone call, I was an Oakland Athletic.
But did you look at it, you know, I would imagine pretty good opportunity with Oakland's minor league system, and you go up to AAA. Did it take long for you to see that this is going to be this has the potential to be a really good thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think I remember at the time Cleveland had you know, Jason Kipnis and Jose Ramirez and Francisco Lindor. Like, they had almost a star-studded infield that it didn't look like I was going to get regular, you know, playing time if I were to make it to the major league. So I viewed it as a good opportunity for me and my career. And, you know, that was kind of my mentality going into the 2015 season, where I ended up starting in AAA. And I looked at it as, you know, they traded for me for a reason. So I was going to try to prove to them, you know, what that reason was.
Time for a break on One-on-One. We will have more with Joey Wendell right after this.
Hey, everybody, it's Cherry Gregg here. You may know me around town as KYW News Radio's community affairs reporter, but every week I produce and host Flashpoint, a podcast where we highlight the hot topics in Philadelphia, local newsmakers and change makers burning things up in our region. From gerrymandering to gender equality and policing in schools, we'll walk you through the flames on Flashpoint. It's available wherever you downloaded this podcast that you're listening to now. So subscribe. Thanks so much.
And we are back on One-on-One. Our guest this week, former Westchester University baseball star Joey Wendell, now a member of the Tampa Bay Rays. You have a ton of success, incredibly consistent at AAA with Nashville, with Oakland. And then you finally get the call, big league debut. How did you find out? Was it the stereotypical get called into the manager's office, you're going to the big leagues? How did you find out you were getting a chance?
Yeah, pretty much. It was pretty stereotypical like that. I mean, Steve Scarsone was my manager at the time, and you know, he called me in and told me, I think that they had traded away Coco Crisp, and he said that that opens up an opportunity for you. They're going to call you up for the major, you know, to get your first start to playing in Houston. So I do remember that day, and I don't know that I'll ever forget that conversation, or just you know, that feeling of knowing that I was going to be a major leaguer and get the opportunity to play in the big leagues. It was special for me and my wife, and you know, my parents were able to make it out to Houston, you know, on 24-hour notice. So it that was a pretty special time. I mean, I remember I flew out, and my wife stayed up all night packing up our apartment, and flew out the next morning. And my parents, you know, kind of dropped everything and met us out there in Houston. Which, you know, I always say that experience of people just kind of going head over heels to try and be there and support me was just like a small little taste of how, like, kind of my whole career has been, and just the support that I've had. And it seems like people like that are close to me and that love me and have supported me throughout my whole career just have been doing that for, you know, 20 years. But, you know, it wasn't until I was a major leaguer when they kind of had to drop everything and literally fly out on the first flight they could get. So it was a pretty cool experience for me.
How long did it take for it to feel real? Because you mentioned so many moving parts with everybody finding out and coming, and you're traveling and getting ready, and oh, by the way, you're going to start. Like, how long did it take for you to take a half a second and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm a big leaguer and I've got to face Mike Fiers tonight?
Yeah, I mean, it felt pretty real when I took the field for that first time. I remember being pretty nervous playing indoors at Minute Maid Park, and that was I remember the first ball that went to me being more nervous in the field than I was hitting. And I remember, like, first ball was like a pop-up that came to me, and I remember looking up, and the first thing I saw was the roof. I was like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. I don't even think I had noticed that we were playing inside. And I thought it was going to be one of those pop-ups that landed right on the mound. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take charge of this ball. I'm going to get it. I'm going to, you know, call everybody off it. And that's exactly what I did. And I went all the way to the mound, and I look up, and the ball's about 15 feet behind me. So I have to backpedal and make a circus style catch. That was my first put out at the major league level. And I think that actually kind of helped me. I was able to kind of laugh that one off and take some of the nerves out of things. But yeah, I recall it being real, like the moment I took the field.
You scored a run in that game. You got on base. I think you reached on an error, like your first at bat. Mm-hmm. You get your first hit a couple days later, pinch hitter against Joe Kelly. Do you remember the whole at bat, or is it a blur?
I don't remember the whole at bat. I mean, I know it was a fastball I hit. I think it was early in the count. Although I will say, I do think that my first at bat was a hit, and they gave it an error. I appealed it, but they still gave it an error. So, you know, I'm a little bitter about that, but it's okay. I was able to get, I think it was my fifth at bat, I got a hit off of Joe Kelly. So I do recall. I mean, you know, I know it was a line drive to left center field, and I thought for a second I was going to try to stretch it into a double, but I think we were down by about 10 or 11 runs at the time, so I decided that I wouldn't.
So you basically play every day for that final month of the season, and you do what you do. You hit, you're steady. You know, how are you feeling at the end of that year? You had a great year at AAA. You got the chance to break through, and you produced. How are you feeling, you know, at the end of 2016?
Yeah, I remember feeling encouraged, and you know, not necessarily that I came up to the major leagues and absolutely killed it for a month, but I had gotten my feet wet, and I knew kind of in my head, like, this is a level that I can play at. It's very difficult. It's very challenging. The level of competition is very, very high, but I felt confident, you know, leaving that year that was something that I could do. You know, I was no longer an outsider looking in. I was somebody who had been there and done that. And even in that short month, I had the opportunity to kind of, you know, get hot, cool off, and then, like, settle back in towards the end of the season. So I think there was a lot that I learned in that. But also I knew that I still had a lot of work that, you know, to do in order to be an everyday regular Major League Baseball player.
Where was that work, in your own opinion? Where did you think you needed to push the bar even higher?
Yeah, I mean, I remember thinking offensively that there were opportunities that I left out there as a, you know, those first 100 at bats. I've taken advantage of, you know, hitter friendly counts, and you know, plate discipline is an area for me that is always a point of you know, needed improvement, and just offensively playing up to the speed of the game and kind of just getting used to it, and getting a feel for the major leagues and kind of what that entailed. And you know, for me, the biggest difference, just the pitcher's abilities to, you know, to form a plan and then execute that plan. So, you know, with 100 at bats under my belt, nobody knows who Joey Wendell is. And I'm getting, you know, kind of, I don't want to say that they don't think that I'm a dangerous hitter, but because, you know, in the major leagues, anybody potentially can, but, you know, guys aren't pitching around me as a rookie hitting leadoff for the Oakland Athletics. I mean, it was just kind of let's see what this guy can do. So I knew there was going to be some adjustments back to, you know, if I got the opportunity to play every day again, that you know, there would be more adjustments that I would have to make as the years go on.
2017, you spend much of the season in AAA again. Was there any, how difficult, I guess, would be the question, once you've tasted the big leagues to go back to AAA for an extended period like that? Was there frustration, or did you take it, let's work on these things that I know I want to work on?
I mean, a little bit of both. You know, I would never, I don't think that period of time is unique to me. That there's so many guys who spend years kind of in that up and down role, and they're kind of a fringe or a 4A player, or, you know, however people would call it. And, you know, I remember that year, I think, Jed Lowry was at second and he had a great year. And then there was a couple guys, you know, from AAA that had been shuttling back and forth. I remember Max Muncy and Chad Pinder, and, you know, guys who, gosh, I'm still really good friends with both of them, you know, kind of getting some opportunities. And then I got a little opportunity in September. I got called up again. But yeah, I do recall, I mean, thinking to myself that after 2016, like I felt like that was a level that I could play at. But on the flip side of that, I feel like I could have also played better in AAA and earned that promotion, you know, by myself and kind of forced the issue. And I never really feel like I did that in 2017. So yeah, that was a, you know, I guess kind of a transition period for me. And, you know, you see so many players go through that.
When you did come up in September 2017, you hit your second career home run, Grand Salami, at Citizens Bank Park against the Phillies. It's a go-ahead home run in the sixth inning. It ends up being the game winner off of Dubre Ramos. What was that whole experience like, getting to play at Citizens Bank Park? I know you played there a little bit during your Westchester days at Carpenter Cup and such, but to be a major leaguer in Philadelphia, oh, by the way, hitting a grand slam.
Yeah, that was pretty surreal. I mean, to have the opportunity to play in front of friends and family like that is one that you really only like would dream about something like that. I mean, it never really occurred to me that would be a reality in my career until it actually happened. And, you know, to hit a grand slam and, you know, hit a game winning grand slam in the ballpark where I grew up watching baseball games was a pretty cool experience. That was special for me and for my family to, you know, kind of be there and share that with me.
And I think in researching it, I'm sure you probably realize this, but you realize you've homered on September 17th in 3 of the 5 years you've been in the big leagues.
I knew it was 2, but I didn't know it was 3.
I think I did this past season as well. I think it was in a doubleheader. So Joey Wendell fun fact for you.
I did not know that. That's pretty cool.
So you make an impression again, and then you get traded again in the offseason to Tampa Bay. How did this feel as opposed to the first time you're traded? I'm guessing you're a little more grizzled, a little bit more, this is a business. How did you approach the, and do you look at it as, hey, this could be a great opportunity for me?
Yeah, I didn't know. So I had gotten designated for assignment by the Athletics, basically that they needed a roster spot quickly. And I was the guy who they viewed as their 40th or 39th or however many guys were on the roster at that time. So that was not as comforting of a feeling as when I had gotten traded from Cleveland to Oakland, but it was, you know, a little bit more unsettling. I remember they called and told me that I had been designated for assignment and that I was they thought that they were going to be able to work out a trade for me. They closed my phone. They'll find out in the next 24 hours. Well, I call it was probably about 3 days later that I had actually gotten that phone call. So that was a strange 3 days for me. And I had found I've been traded to the Tampa Bay Rays. So, you know, when you're thinking about that, you're trying to figure out where it is you might get traded. Like, you know, there's 30 teams, you know, am I headed, you know, back out west to the West Coast? Am I going East Coast? Am I going North, South? So it, you know, there was a lot of unknowns. And then when I saw that it was Tampa Bay, you know, like I said before, like you go from Cleveland Indians to an Oakland Athletic in 5 minutes. Like we went from an Oakland Athletic to a Tampa Bay Ray. And I recall going into spring training, not fully sure of what was going to come of this. I was, you know, I think it was kind of like me and it was two other second basemen that were almost just competing for that spot in spring training. They were kind of just doing a little tryout. And, you know, thankfully I was able to make the opening day roster and kind of carve out a little role for myself as I was playing second when right-handed pitchers were throwing and get pretty consistent at bats throughout that 2018 season. But, I remember thinking that going into that year, you know, I could easily be the 40th guy on this roster as well and kind of wind up in a DFA limbo, you know, going from team to team, or, you know, or I could end up making a team. It was just something that I wasn't really sure about.
Was there a point during that season, because you have a fantastic year, I think you finished fourth in the rookie of the year voting, do you remember a point, and I don't want to say where you feel like you've arrived, because I know the success at this level is very fragile and you can't ever think, but was there a point where you started to feel comfortable that I can do this at this level, they appreciate that I can do this, and I've got a spot here?
Yes and no. I mean, like you said, success can be so fleeting in this game, and it's so humbling. And I think so often that, you know, the moment you feel like you've got it and that you're a big leaguer and, you know, you establish yourself, then you go into a slump and you start to doubt yourself. Like, well, maybe, you know, I could find myself in AAA really quickly. So I, you know, there is that, you know, you never quite fully know, but I have always felt as though, Tampa Bay as an organization has really, really valued a lot of the parts of my game. And I remember one of the first conversations I had with our general manager, and he was just telling me that one of the reasons they went out and traded for me was because that, you know, they think I'm a good defensive player, and they really valued me on that side of the ball, which was something that I had always felt I'd been a solid defensive player, but wasn't necessarily something that somebody had told me that a reason that they value me because of. So that gave me a lot of confidence. And you know, at times when I wasn't hitting during that year, it really gave me an area to focus on. And I always went back to that conversation frequently and remember thinking, okay, like, you know, you just play clean defense, play hard, do what you can at the plate. And that really took a lot of pressure off of me. So I think that the second half of that year, I started to get more consistent at bats, and I was starting to play against right-handers and left-handers. And I got hot for a while there. And, you know, I think that kind of, you know, as I was describing that positive feedback and how confidence can lead to better play, I think that's kind of what I experienced in that rookie year of mine. And it gave me a lot of confidence going into, you know, going into the 2019 season and for the rest of my career so far.
I know in 2019 you had to battle, I think you had a couple different injuries. You had a hamstring issue, and then you had the wrist injury. Were those the first real kind of extended injuries you've had to deal with?
You know, I had some injuries in the minor leagues. I had hamate surgery, which is, you know, a wrist hand injury, very common among baseball players. I broke a muscle or a bone in my face, getting hit by a ball. But yeah, I mean, that was probably, you know, in terms of, you know, injury, that was the hardest, most difficult year that I've had. And, you know, the hamstring injury was kind of, it wasn't I was running. It was a strange tag play that kind of just caught me in a funny position. And then the wrist was, I got hit in the wrist by a 96 mile an hour fastball. It was, you know, unfortunately, other than have quicker reflexes, wasn't much I could do about that one either. So yeah, that injury was, that one was difficult to overcome. And I'm not sure that I ever really did in that year. It was, you know, I called feeling okay, and then, you know, I end up going back on the injured list because of that injury a couple of weeks after I had come back the first time.
But you come back in 2020, we talk about shortened, and you have a very, once again, very consistent season. It ends, you know, with you guys getting to the World Series. How big was it for you to, for 2020, to come back healthy and come back and play consistently at the level that you've proven you can do?
Sure. I mean, that was a confidence booster for me. You want to prove that, you know, your 2018 season wasn't a flash in the pan, that you weren't just kind of a one-hit wonder, but kind of reestablish yourself as somebody that, you know, can have some ups, have some downs, but, you know, overall remain a consistent player and somebody that the team can count on for, you know, offensive production as well as defensive stability. So, you know, it was a big year for me, and that, you know, allows me to be confident in my ability. And, you know, I feel really good going into this year health wise. So, you know, and I'm looking to have a season closer to 2018 and 2020, as opposed to my kind of down year there in 2019.
You've accomplished a lot as a baseball player. If I ask you, what is the most special moment for you from your career so far, from high school, like on? What is, if I ask you, what does your baseball career mean to you? What's the first memory that probably comes to mind?
I mean, the memories that come to mind are like the team ones. I mean, they're winning the College World Series in 2012. It's making the playoffs in 2019. It's winning the American League pennant in 2020. I mean, it's those teams, that those experiences that you can share with other people, to me, that are special. I mean, getting called up is something that I'll never forget. Hitting a grand slam in Philadelphia is something I'll never forget. But, you know, the moments that really stick out to me, and the ones that, you know, I have pictures in my house of, are of us winning the, you know, the American League pennant, or doing something fun as a team. To me, those are, you know, kind of what it's all about.
Do you ever have moments walking into a stadium or getting off a bus or whatever where you're just like, man, I'm a big league baseball player?
Yeah, I mean, all the time. All the time. I mean, I think in order to perform at your highest level, there has to be some point where you're comfortable with that. You're comfortable, you know, going into a major league stadium and just playing and shutting out all the noise. But I think there's also times that, you know, where you need to be able to appreciate, you know, this isn't something everybody gets an opportunity to do. And I'm thankful, and I feel extremely blessed every single day I get to go into a major league stadium. I mean, I play with a lot of guys who are extremely talented, and a lot of them have been doing this for so long. I know that, you know, it almost seems like more of a job, but I genuinely love the game of baseball. I have a passion for the game and for, you know, playing it and teaching it and talking about it. But yeah, I do. I truly feel blessed every time I get to, you know, to walk into a stadium and, you know, look up at the bleachers, and hopefully this year look up at the fans and think to myself, wow, like this is pretty special. Don't become numb to this.
Joey Wendle, thanks so much for taking the time. This was great.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thanks for having me on.
And that will do it for this week's episode. I want to thank Joey Wendle for being our guest this week. If you like this show and you want to help us out, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and a review. Now, you can follow the show on Twitter at OneOnOnePod. You can follow me on Twitter as well at MattLeon1060. Thanks so much for listening, and tune in again next week when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.